Tonight, we're starting a whole new series. It's an Advent series, and it's called Preparing for Christmas. And it's how to prepare our hearts for the coming King. And that's what it's all about. It's always been about, it will always be about Christmas and Jesus, right? That's what Christmas is all about. But before we get into the first part of our study, let's seek the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I'm just so excited about Christmas. Christmas time comes, Lord, and it always seems like it goes by too fast when you have kids and youngins running around. And Lord, there's always seems like there's so much to do. But Father, we would ask that you do a mighty work this Christmas. Father, as we make our preparations daily at our houses, Father, may you already be working on the hearts of those that don't know your Savior, our family members, our friends, our co-workers. Father, work through and in your word tonight and work in us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, question for the night. Did any of you ever grow up with an Advent calendar? You know what an Advent calendar is? Yeah. You guys know what they are, right? So for many families, they're a family tradition. We have kind of ours on the mantle. We have both the cardboard type that you kind of flip the days, you know, and it starts counting off all the way, you know, one all the way to 25 till Christmas Day. But we also have one with a box with a little presents in it. And kids have found that I found out I couldn't preload the goodies in the Advent box, right? Because the little kids would get to it and go, oh, what's in number 19? Yeah, you know, hey, got your goodie early. Doesn't work that way, you know. But the idea is, you know, this is the first day of Advent, and it's kind of like counting down our days till Christmas, just like that. And each day, there's a new preparation that we should be preparing with our heart for this coming King. You might ask, so Marty, how do we actually prepare our hearts for the coming King, for Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Glad you asked that, because if you didn't ask that, we wouldn't have much of a study tonight, right? So over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing this Advent study in both the Old and the New Testament, focusing on this being prepared for the coming King. So tonight, question, what do you do in your homes to prepare for Christmas? Any of you put up Christmas lights? Yeah? Any of you already have them up? I mean, my wife, yeah, got the lights up. Yeah, how about Christmas trees? Yeah? You guys do Christmas trees? Okay, show of hands. Where are my live trees? Got to be a live tree. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Believe it or not, my heart is that way, always a live tree. Where's my artificial tree people? No, I refuse to pay $100 for a little Charlie Brown tree, right? Right? So, I mean, yeah, we all have these preparations that we do. We make time and plans, maybe with our businesses. We have these business Christmas parties that we put onto our calendar. Maybe there's times to sing, like we're with the choir, we're singing a lot this month. In fact, we could almost be singing every single day of the month, but then the choir would revolt against me and nobody would show up anymore. So it's one of those things that you pray about it, you go where God leads, and then you serve where wherever he takes you. Just for fun, how many of you are maybe going out of town for this Christmas to see grandparents or parents or kids? Anybody leaving? Yeah? A few going out of state? Yeah? Just for a moment, think of how much time we spend, man, just shopping for the right Christmas presents, decorating the house, preparing those home-cooked meals for people coming over. Or maybe you're like me. You have to make bake your annual Christmas cookies, right? Anyone do Christmas cookies? Yep, that's me. Yep, I'm the guy. And the point is, When we prepare for any of these Christmas activities, it takes a scheduled time. It takes effort. And it takes a focus on what we want to accomplish. And if these activities really are important to us, not if they're just things, I'd rather not be making cookies this year. No, I take a lot of joy in it. I love to go to our family gatherings. You know what? If these things are important to us, then we have to be prepared for them. We have to go to the grocery store and get the ingredients for the cookies. We have to set that time aside to make sure we don't double book for that evening if we're having lunch or coffee with one of the kids. Maybe you've heard the story about a man and woman for Christmas. They've been invited over to their parents' house for dinner. And man, okay, the woman, she goes out and she makes her famous three-bean casserole for Christmas. And the husband, you know, gets together his a bottle of wine or Martinelli's, right? Martinelli's, and gets it in the car. And they load up the car with all their special Christmas presents that they've wrapped for their parents for them to open. And they have special bows on them and have special cards inside. And they drive away and they're halfway to their parents' house. And you know what? They find they forgot something. They forgot their little newborn baby. Ooh, right? See, we could get so busy hanging up our Christmas lights and shopping for just the right gifts that we forget about the greatest gift that God has given us, and that's Jesus. We could forget about the baby God, the baby that God sent us. Born in Bethlehem to free us from our sin and bring us into eternal life. See, that's what Christmas is like for many people. They get so busy with life, with work, working overtime because it's a crazy time of year, right? And so they're pouring on the hours and they say, we need you to package more stuff, to get out more work before the holidays. And if I'm giving you 2 days off for Christmas, man, I'm going to make you work 4 extra days, right? You got to work extra, just have those days off. And yet, it's all about Jesus. It's all about remembering the baby born in Bethlehem that God sent us. See, Jesus Christ in Scripture is called the gift of God. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ is that greatest gift man will ever receive because only Jesus Christ can deliver to us God's gift of eternal life. But Jesus Christ isn't just for us. It's the greatest gift you can give someone else that you love. So the big idea is this Christmas, don't leave baby Jesus home for Christmas, right? Take Jesus wherever God takes you. So question, since we're now kind of starting to get our hearts on the right track, being prepared for Christmas, when did God first decide to give us this gift? Think about it. When did God first decide to give us this gift? Now, how many of you think that God first gave us this gift when Jesus died on the cross? Anybody? Oh, good, good. Bible scholars here. Yes, some of you might have been right that Jesus dying on the cross was good, and it was God's fulfillment of God's gift. But it wasn't when God first decided on what gift to give us. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but this was not when God first started preparing this gift for us. Let's try it again. How many of you think that God first gave us this gift when Jesus was born? Yeah, born in Bethlehem? No. Hey, good Bible scholars. Yes, the humble birth of Jesus was fulfillment again of Scripture, but Jesus's birth, it wasn't when God first decided on the gift we needed. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, that, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill them." So Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection is the fulfillment of God's plan to save us. God knew what we needed. We needed a Savior. We needed to be saved. But it wasn't when God first decided to give us this gift, when Jesus was born. So, are you starting to guess? Are you starting to guess when God first decided to give us this gift? Now, I know you guys are Bible scholars. You know your Bible. But let's go over this. God first decided to give all of mankind this gift of life. Notice, after man sinned. After, as Paul writes, we fell short of the glory of God. So if you would, turn in your Bibles now. Genesis chapter 3. Weird Christmas passage, right? When man first fell into sin, you know? Genesis chapter 3. So after, as you're turning there, after Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit and sinned directly and disobediently against God, God then extended his grace, his mercy, and began shopping, you might say, for the right Christmas present for us. You might even say that God began making preparations of how to redeem mankind from being forever separated from him. So in Genesis chapter 3, after woman had sinned, God said, suddenly, "What have you done?" The woman said, "Oh, the serpent, he deceived me and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." That seed being Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." See, God had a choice at that moment when Adam and Eve sinned. God could have started over, couldn't he? Could God have started over? Yeah, maybe I'll find a little bit cleaner piece of dirt to pull from, yeah, make man from. Maybe I'll pull a different rib out of Adam, start with that. But see, God didn't start over. God chose at that moment to start preparing a gift for all of mankind that no human may ever or fully understand or even appreciate. God's gift of salvation is truly an indescribable gift. And that's what God did that day in the Garden of Eden. God began to prepare this great gift of God in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, that our God is rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, he says, you have been saved. And Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is" what? "The gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, it is God's free gift, this overwhelming preparation and planning throughout history, that we are now be able to be called his sons, his daughters, and heirs to the kingdom of God. I mean, isn't this just the best gift ever, right? And wouldn't you like to just share this gift of God with everyone you know? Give them the chance, the opportunity, man, to know a God that loves them so deeply. A love that this world can never really fully know or understand. You know, it's a deep, unconditional love, that agape love that he has for us. See, though, if we forget about Jesus during Christmas, if we get too busy trimming trees and singing Christmas carols, that we forget the baby and we leave him at home, it means that they're missing out on this great gift that we can offer to them. And what does it cost you? It costs us a little bit of being uncomfortable. Right? Anyone feel uncomfortable when you share your faith? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to open up your mouth. I'll tell you, things that help with that is honestly just start doing it, right? The more you talk about Jesus, man, the more God starts filling you with his Holy Spirit, and he starts guiding your heart, guiding your mouth, guiding your spirit to share that with the people around you. But don't be afraid also when you don't know something. You know, if you can't recite all the 12 tribes of Israel by heart, okay, it's okay. We can look them up. That's why God gives us the Bible, right? We can look it up together. In fact, it makes us dig into God's word together. If you don't know, well, hey, you know, how did man sin there in the Garden of Eden again? Well, maybe you forgot. Well, let's look at it, Genesis 3. Let's look at that whole Genesis account. And man, God will start working through you and through his word. And I'll tell you, he will bring to your memory those words that you didn't even remember, those scriptures. You didn't go to memorize them, but God will bring those to your memory. So this gift of God began when man fell short in the Garden of Eden. And it's there that God's plan to redeem us began. It may seem like a strange Christmas passage, but man, that was the beginning. Man, and it had a reason, a motivation. And the motivation is God's great love that he has for each of us. He could have started over, but God chose man to start working in mankind and to provide the means to save him. But what about you? When did God's gift of salvation begin in your life? Were you old, young? Were you rich or poor? Were you actively seeking a personal relationship with God? Or, man, were you like me, kind of running away from him? Because I knew if I started following God, I would have to change. And I kind of liked all the fun I was having in college. Or were you seeking to please God by just being nice to people? Or were you still, at the moment, still walking in your sin? See, the when and how we came to Christ may be all different, but the truth is the gift of God came to all of us the same way. The gift of God came to all of us when we were sinners, just like Adam and Eve. And God, he provided this rescue plan, this gift. This great gift, this indescribable gift to save us. See, it's God's great love for us that would meet us there in our sin and throw us, shall we say, that lifeline of his grace and his mercy to save us. We did nothing to earn or deserve this gift, did we? Rather, God met us in our sin, knowing that without this gift, we would be eternally separated from him. And this gift of God meeting us where we are at in our sin to save us, man, it keeps us connected to God. Otherwise, we would be forever separated from him. And think about it for a moment. Think of how long God has been preparing this gift for us. It's been a very long time. Turn now into Genesis chapter 12, since we're there. Again, another strange Christmas verses. You go, what? Genesis? Christmas? Yeah! Genesis! Christmas! Yeah! It's the whole Bible is all about Jesus. It's all about God's plan to save mankind. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. You might remember that God chose first a righteous man to be the father of all nations. You know the story. And who was the father of all nations? Yeah. Abraham. Yeah, he was known as Abram first. So don't get confused with Abram. Abraham. Father Abraham had many kids. Many kids had Father Abraham. Yeah, you guys know it. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, there was a threefold blessing that God gave to Abraham. Number one, he said, I will make you a great nation. And who would that nation become? Come on, you guys know this one. Israel, right? Yeah, children of Israel. You got it. He said, I will make you a great nation, and I will give you a land for your descendants. And what was the capital city of this great nation? Jerusalem. Good, good. Jerusalem literally means in Hebrew, God is peace. It's a city that God wanted his peace to rule, his shalom. Unfortunately, once again, man fell short of the glory of God. And time again, they fell back into sin. That's why God knew this. And so he promised Abraham a third blessing. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will give you a land for your descendants, and I will bless you so that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And who is that blessing? Come on. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus, the gift of God that God has been wrapping up for us. And it is through Christ, literally the anointed one of God, the Messiah. Like Jesus said, I came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Think of now how the book of Isaiah describes Jesus, this gift of God. Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah. And if finding Isaiah isn't too hard, if you split it in half, you'll find the Psalms. Then if you go to the right, you'll get past Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and into Isaiah. So not too bad. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. This is the way that Isaiah describes our Savior. He says, for unto us a child is born. And you know this passage. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. upon the throne of David over his kingdom in order to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, God, with his zeal, with his passion, with his love for us, has chosen to raise up his only begotten Son to save us, to be that gift of God that no man on earth could ever fulfill that position. This is the gift that God gives. It's the zeal of the Lord of hosts that will perform this. And when God says he will do something, he does it. Jump ahead to chapter 11 now in Isaiah. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This is our Lord. This is who gives us that spiritual wisdom and understanding we need in life to understand his word. He gives us the counsel that we need. When we need counsel, when we need direction in our life, when we need to find purpose, when we need to find meaning. And he's a mighty God. That word might in Hebrew actually means, man, he's become a victorious king, a powerful king, an overcoming king. Because that's what Christ did for us. He overcame death. He overcame the sting of sin that's in every single person that's born. And he did that because of his great love for us. And he says the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We think of everything that God knows. And man, I'll tell you, there's sometimes I wish I had more godly wisdom when I'm raising my kids and my grandkids or trying to figure out what to do next with my business as I'm seeking to retire in March. And you go, Lord, what do you want me to do? So we get to seek him. We get to bring these gifts before a God that has all knowledge, that has all wisdom, has all counsel, and he'll guide us in those paths of righteousness. One way then that we can be preparing our hearts for this coming King this Christmas is by remembering the where, the when, and how long God has been preparing this gift for us. Think of for a moment someone that gives you a gift that took a long time to make. Maybe it's a sculptor, right? That they took some clay and they molded maybe a picture of a horse, your favorite horse, and they know how to work the clay. Don't ask me to make it. No, I'd look like my grandkids' little horses and squeezed. No, it would come out yucky. But picture a person that really knows how to work with that type of media that has cut it and, man, took all this time. I know my wife's a painter, and she paints, and some of her paintings will take sometimes 6 months. Done some beautiful work. If I had time, I'd pull them up on the screen. But man, the idea is if someone went to that much trouble to, say, paint a picture of your husband, of your wife, of one of your kids, you take great value in that, right? Not just because it was homemade, but yeah, homemade, but also it took time, it took effort, it took energy to make that. And there's kind of a built-in value into that product because of the time that it took. When we think, though, how long God has then been preparing this gift for us, It gives the gift of Jesus even more value and worth for our lives. See, this gift of God started that first day that we sinned, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God loves us way too much to let us stay in that sin, right? So God prepared this indescribable gift for us. And in the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, just as we go to great lengths to prepare our homes for Christmas, let's start preparing our hearts for this incredible coming King. Let's ask him to work in our lives and work through our mouths and work through our hugs, yes, and our smiles that we take in into the places that we shop and into our workplaces and into our homes. Let us spread that Christmas cheer, that Christmas love, the gift of God with everyone that we know. Let's share the good news of Jesus Christ, the gift of God, with everyone God places in our paths this Christmas. See, Jesus came to give us life. You might say to deliver firsthand God's great gift. Paul said in his letter to the Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, God's great gift of salvation, man, it's too great a gift to keep to yourself. God sent a Savior for one reason, to save us, and this is the greatest gift we will ever receive, but it requires, first, hearts that are prepared to receive him. Number two, courage and boldness to share this gift with others, and lives committed to serving him every day. Let us not let our lives get so distracted by the baking of cookies, the decorating of our homes, and maybe even shopping on Amazon, right? That we forget our baby Jesus, who should always be present at the center of our lives. This Christmas, in fact, let's be prepared in our hearts for the coming King as we welcome him into our lives this joyous season. But don't forget the baby. And keep your heart and minds on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know how crazy this Christmas season gets. And we know, Lord, that though that you are greater than this craziness, but Lord, we also need your help. Lord, we need to stay focused, to stay in the lane that you want us to be in, or we just go bouncing about. Father, we need to keep our eyes, our hearts, our minds focused in on Jesus. Father, don't let the materialism of this Christmas season, Lord, to just drown out this great gift of your Son. Father, help us to be more mindful forever of when this gift started and the value that we hold in this gift that you have given freely to us. So, Father, lead us, guide us, equip us, Lord, for your work as we go outside these doors. Father, help us to be your light to the world that brings this good news to everyone who doesn't know you. And, Father, we just ask your blessing on this Christmas, on our families, our friends, our kids, our relatives, and Father, especially, Lord, work in the hearts of those that do not know you. so that they might know this same indescribable gift. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life